Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We're talking about podcasts. We're talking about special announcements podcast. That's us, the Two Chunks Boys, here with a very special announcement. Carter is on vocal rest for a very special reason. We'll tell you soon. He can't be here today because he has no voice. He gave it all to you, our listeners.
He has no voice and he must scream.
He must
which
scream.
Which is a weird kind of like a, it's kind of a scary thing when your friend texts you that, when you're like, hey, can we start the podcast? And he's like, I have no voice, but I must scream.
Yeah. And we keep saying, what does that mean? What does that mean? And he keeps saying, I'm becoming the machine at the end of the world, the supercomputer that runs right. The simulation that dies. And we're saying, huh? And he keeps
saying, he'll be like, he's like, you'll know soon.
He keeps saying, all caps, you'll know soon. It's over. It's over. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's very odd.
It's weird.
It's very odd. But I'm Jordan, in case you didn't know that.
Yeah, this one's Doge. No joke for today.
It's kind of all a joke. And that's,
you know,
the
it's
joke.
An infinite sort of jest.
Before we get to business, I had something I wanted to talk about today. Carter's not here, which is it's tough on a day that I think he'd really like to weigh in. But
he's ascending. I think we've already covered
that's
that.
That's true. He already knows this conversation's happening. I went to we got a new grocery store in HEB. If you're from Texas, you know how big of a deal that is. And I went there earlier this week, and they're doing some cool stuff with chips these days, guys.
What's the latest in Chipology?
I bought a bag of Korean barbecue chips that might
be... You had me at Korean, to be honest.
Might be a top three chip for me.
Wow.
It's smoky, a little sweet. They have like...
Yeah.
They have a little tiny sugar crystals on them. And then they're like salty, smoky, sweet. It kind of tastes like that, the Japanese barbecue sauce that you can buy
in
the grocery stores. It kind of tastes a little like that sort of like smoky soy flavor on a chip. And it is so good.
Do you think Carter will still like those once he has ascended into his new form?
It'll be harder to eat without a mouth. We'll probably have to feed the data of how they taste into some sort of
USB
hub.
Maybe they make a version that's microchips.
Yeah, Korean barbecue microchips will probably be the answer.
Maybe we'll give him those.
Yeah, I think that'll be good. I think that'll be really good. Yeah. And he can enjoy them while he listens to the announcement Doge is about to make.
That's right. Carter is, as we've covered, he's not here. He's in his sort of crystal chrysalis of ascension. But right before he entered, he did something really amazing and recorded a very good season one recap for Imagine Dungeons. That's our actual play D&D podcast. We just launched season two this past week, and we are so excited to share it with you. So with the machine formerly known as Carter's Permission. We're going to go ahead and drop that season one summary here in the Two Chunks feed at the end of this episode. We would love as many of you as possible to listen to that, take a listen to Imagine Dungeons season two. Even if you didn't listen to season one, Carter in his last act as a flesh and blood being did a great job summarizing the key points of season one. And I think he's going to bring you up to speed really well.
Yeah, he gave up his humanity for this. So the least you could do is give it a little listen.
Come on. And come on.
Honestly, if you're like, well, it's a lot of podcasts I'm missing. Is the recap enough to listen to season two if I've never listened to season one? Yeah.
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 Go ahead.
Yeah. Who Next cares? Question.
Go ahead.
That's a stupid question.
Jump
Next
in.
Next question. Yeah, of
and,
course.
And honestly, you're going to like season two so much that you're going to be like, let me see what I missed. And you'll jump back. I feel pretty confident
about that. If you've got any questions, great news for you. We have a free Discord for Imagine Dungeons.
Whoa.
You've heard us talk about our Two Chunks Discord. Imagine Dungeons, we're busting the doors open. It's a wide open place to discuss the show. So if you listen to it and you're like, I can't quite remember who the Hag of Crossfork is, or tell me more about this 12-fingered monkey, or why do you guys all have weird hand tattoos? Pop in that Discord and ask us. We're all there. We would love to help you.
And if you ask a Two Chunks question in the free Imagine Dungeons Discord, we will Venmo request you. So
that is actually part of why Carter's ascending, so that he can be a 24/7 surveillance presence on that Discord.
Yeah, it's Big Carter.
Big Carter.
Big Carter's watching and listening. So
welcome to 1980 Carter.
Normally, this is the part where I would say to end this episode, but this episode's only really getting started because you're about to listen to Carter's the end of Carter's voice as he beautifully inhabits his character, Donnie, to explain to you everything that happened in season one. So instead, I'll just say, as we end every Imagine Dungeons episode, yeah, which you'd know if you listen to it, may the stars and the sky, the sun and the dreams guide dreams. You forever by the hand, take you there. And where there's only one set of footprints in the sand, just know that was where Imagine Dungeons
That was where I rolled a natural 20.
Pushed you over and took off and ran without you. come catch up.
Previously on Imagine Dungeons, Jody kind of leads Donnie back to her cottage. He's like, feel free to sit down here. There's like a living room. She's clearly a hoarder. There's stuff all over the place. She snaps her fingers and two quills come flying in from the other room. Here's the thing. You and Sui clearly have a connection, and I would never want to come between that. At the same time, I paid good money for this hog, and this is one that is not easy for me to get. And so, here's our deal. You promise me, I need two promises from you. One is that you're going to go make things right with this woman.
Hala was my betrothed. I mean, it was arranged, and she was a good friend, and there was never really any romance there or anything, but damn, I shouldn't have.
The other promise I need you to make me, you know, you mentioned earlier, who takes care of Jody? I get bored out here sometimes, and one thing I can't get enough of is stories. I'm going to give you a quill, and I want you to log your stories for me so I can stay entertained out here.
That's already a muscle I've been flexing for many years, Jody. I'd be happy to do that for you. This means more to me than I think you know. This is a gift. Hey, Joe. Hope I can call you that. Suits you, friend. Appreciate this, Jody. Well, where to begin? I'm glad you asked me to jot to you. Fun to have the quill floating around, but, well, with a world full of demons and vampires and boogeymen, stories are just about all's worth a damn. This one's about us. Old Big Rig Ridley. Sweet Sense Sue, our little cook. Fast Fingers Fiddles was kind of sticky around your place, and Glint Wind Wrangler, more of that later. Of course, then there was me. Oh, and that cute little beaming bag of bolts, Davy. My story starts the day we met in the jail cell of Captain Vance's pirate ship. He's a vampire. We were each marked. Had all the mind to turn us into one of them. Vampirates, that is. We found ourselves a magic whistle. As one does, we blew it. And wouldn't you know it, a kraken showed up to distract the pirates so we could make our escape. That's when we found out why Glint had been wearing that glove. Enter his new namesake. He shot out a gust of wind from his glowing hand and launched our lifeboat into the open water. Not before we grabbed Vance's right-hand vamp, good old Leadhead. Made him our new captain. We moved forward down the river together. Because that's all that you can do. Just plop down in that river and let the water carry you. Back at it, Joe. Really thinking you'll take to that name. Found out pretty quickly that the vampires were tracking us down the river by those magic marks on our wrists. Not good at all. On our way down the river, we bumped and bimped and stumbled upon a tower, home of your good buddy, Ramshackle the Wizard. Outside Ramshackle's house, like right where he'd hang his socks to dry, we met two unique characters. First was a little goblin named Ingo, who asked us to do him a favor. We're kind folks, so we obliged. Well, turns out he wanted us to steal a wyvern egg. Sound familiar? Goes to show that you gotta be careful who you agree to owe a favor. I'm sure you knew that. The second was a man, or maybe it was a fox, by the name of Lucius. He didn't offer much in the way of explanation. All his answers to our questions were pretty cryptic, but something I'm used to. Like there was something major he was hiding from us. Told us he could help us get these marks lifted off our wrists and gave us his business card so we could give him a ring on Ridley's little shell phone he had. Well, we got inside Ramshackle's house, and in a wild twist of fate, it turns out Ridley's brother-in-law, Swill, had captured old Rammy and was trying to steal his treasure. What's worse, Swill had brought his son Snaps along for the ride and left him to his own devices. His own devices being primarily cooking lots and lots of nachos. That's chips with cheese all over them. He tends to smother them in all sorts of things. Yeah, I'm sure you've had them. Well, we got into a cave, and then after a tussle with Swill, it caved in into the wizard's basement. And he and Ramshackle got away. We tore off down that river again after him, thanks to some pointers from a 12-fingered monkey, and ended up in Weed Warren, home of the chameleon folk. We weren't the only guests they were entertaining, though. Turns out some of Vance's vampirate buddies tracked us down the river. And I'm sure, Joe, you've heard of the saying, one thing leads to another. Well, in this case, a flaming ring of mushrooms led to an absolute ass whooping of those vampires. And I'll tell you something. Between me and you, during that fight, we started to realize something about our little group. Began to think of ourselves as maybe a little family. Well, Jojo, the story... Is that pushing it a little bit? All right, Joe. Story continues. And so did we down that river again. Vampired asses thoroughly kicked in hot pursuit of Swill and Shackle. Chameleon folk back in Weed Warren told us we needed to come find you at Crossfork. Enter the best part of our story. That's what we did. Believe me, we were kiber-smacked when we saw all of your amazing animals. I mean, I'm inclined to believe that the crown jewel of your magical menagerie is, of course, my sweet Suey. I can never thank you enough for keeping this big old dire hog safe for me. After... Hala dropped her off with you. I gotta admit, we did eyeball those wyvern eggs of yours, as I'd said. We owed that favor to Ingo, after all. But we didn't steal one. At all. So don't think we did. There was this weird instance of Ridley finding a magical scale. He held it in his hand, and without warning, that sucker zipped right to Ridley's shell, attached itself there, like a leech on Sue's... Well, maybe I'll share that in another letter. I'll let her write to you. I saw some power go through him, but he seemed normal after that, so not sure what that's all about. Anyway, as you remember, you worked a little of your cross-fork magic and told us where to find Ramshackle. Turns out, he and Swill got themselves captured up by none other than the Groka. The Groka, vampire boogeyman of Gatherhole. If you think by now we'd have learned to leave well alone, well, maybe you don't know us as well as I thought you did. We hightailed it across the desert, as I know my little sweet Suey Pinch had always can, to rescue Rammy, and now Swill from the boogeyman. While we were riding, Glint let us know he'd been having dreams. Visions, more like, of the distant, distant past. Lucius, our fox friend, was in them. And so was Ramshackle. He inhabited the body of some fellow named Dale and seemed to be accessing significant events in Dale's life. These dreams don't seem to be affecting Glint too much, though. Just keeping him from getting a good night's shut-eye. Well, the fam got to Groka's lair, and, it turns out the boogeyman couldn't really boogie. We rescued your buddy Ramshackle, and he was right as rain. If a little shaken up and scattered, that may have been a pre-existing condition, though. Unfortunately, the Groka's minions had done some kind of ritual on Swill. Started to transform him into a dragon or something. At any rate, Swill was and is completely unresponsive. We're hoping there's some powerful cleric who can heal him up for us. Kind of like when me and the buddies used to just take big rocks and break them open and hope there was something glowing and glittering inside. Well, we'll just have to see. Maybe we won't crack his head open, but you get the gist. Turns out, old Swill's soul got split in two by whatever the Groka's minions did to him, Joe. That's not something a fella usually recovers from on his own, so on your advice, we set course for Gatherhold to find a cleric for him. But first, we weren't going to try and be doggy paddling down. We needed a ship. Talk to your old buddy, Blindo, the moon monkey, about chartering his airship. Only problem, he didn't have a crew. Well, we took ourselves a quick jaunt down to the swamps and freed some elementals, as one would, from a binding contract to solve that particular problem. When we get back to your farm, or zoo, you were meeting with Lord Bartholomew, that new political leader from Gatherhold, and y'all were discussing something about those wyvern eggs. Forgive us, but we sure did need one of those eggs for Ingo, as you remember. So we did what any highly motivated, dramatically inclined, incredibly good-looking crew would do. We had ourselves a little heist. We snuck that egg right out from under old Barty's nose. Everything went perfectly until it didn't. See, it was a setup. Fiddlesticks, who had been disguising herself with a magic ring this whole time, is the daughter of Lord Bartholomew. And he didn't take too kindly to being robbed by his own blood. We hightailed it out of there on our airship now, but Lord Bartholomew sent his buddies, our old enemies Vance and the Vampirates, after us. It was a massive clash in the sky. Thankfully, I was there, so it'll go down in history. Wyverns, cannonballs, flying vampires, all zipping through the air, Joe. Sue even summoned an angel, Coatl, right from her magic ring. We made easy work of most of all of them, except for tough old Vance. Wasn't too happy to see his former right-hand man, Leadhead, as our captain. And quicker than any of us could stop him, Vance threw the good captain overboard. Quick as a flash, this whole crew leapt into action. I haven't even seen so many folks willing to risk so much for somebody they just met in all my life. Through a miraculous amount of coordination and, frankly, a chance roll of the dice, Leadhead was saved. Once he was back on our ship, sweet little Davy walked right up to him, put his hat back on his head, and said his first word. Captain, in all the chaos of the rescue, Vance got away again. I like to think we got him pretty well licked, though. He'd think twice before tangling with us again. So, that just about brings you up to speed, Joe. I will add a little P.S. here. If you see Hala, you can go ahead and tell her which way I went. Thanks, Joe.
HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.